From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Wednesday, March 17th. Coming up, farm workers from Mexico are starting to make their way into fields across the country, and for some, the first stop is getting a vaccine. We'll hear how vaccine distribution differs between the U.S. and Mexico in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Because of the COVID-19 pandemic, the U.S. Census Bureau is warning states that final census data may not be ready to go until September. That runs up against a timeline for legislative redistricting laid out in Illinois' Constitution, which stipulates that if the legislature does not approve maps by June 30th for the governor to sign into law, the process goes to a bipartisan panel. Democrats who have supermajorities in both chambers of the General Assembly would like to avoid that outcome, though it's happened four of the past five decades. Senate President Don Harmon of Oak Park says Illinois should start the process now using alternative census estimates, despite the risk of a lawsuit.
I think regardless of what data we use, including final census data, the maps will inevitably be challenged in court. It's up to us to provide a fair and transparent process and draw a map that is fair and equitable.
Lawmakers this week will kick off two dozen hearings on redistricting this spring for legislative and congressional maps that will be in use for a decade beginning in 2022. In the latest sign that coronavirus restrictions are easing, the University of Illinois system has announced a broad expansion of in-person classes this coming fall at its campuses in Urbana-Champaign, Springfield, and Chicago. Illinois Newsroom's Lee Gaines has more.
U of I officials say most classes during the fall semester will be held in person, barring any major changes in the pandemic. They cite the success of their COVID Shield saliva-based testing program and the increasing number of vaccinations as reasons for this decision. The U of I system also claims that its campuses have had low COVID-19 positivity rates and no major outbreaks since they reopened last year. U of I officials say more than 40 schools, businesses, and government agencies are now using their saliva test, and they expect that number to increase. I'm Lee Gaines, Illinois Newsroom.
Fewer Illinois families have applied for college financial aid this year using the FAFSA, the free application for federal student aid, so a campaign is underway to get more families in the state to file their FAFSA. Jacqueline Moreno is with ISAC, the Illinois Student Assistance Commission, which co-sponsors the campaign. Jacqueline Moreno is with ISAC, the Illinois Student Assistance Commission, which co-sponsors the campaign. She says with financial fallout from the COVID-19 pandemic, some families may think now is not the time to go to college, but Moreno says they should still fill out the FAFSA.
You're filing the FAFSA to find out how much you could get. Don't write it off now. There's lots of time to decide what you want to do. But if you decide not to apply for financial aid, you're really exacerbating the disproportionate effect that it's having on lower income and economically struggling families.
Completing the FAFSA determines their eligibility for federal, state, and institutional financial aid. Moreno says ISAC provides free help to students and families completing the form. You can find more information at isac.org. Public health officials report more than 900 doses of COVID-19 vaccines were administered on Monday in Champaign County. That puts the number of fully vaccinated people in the county at more than 41,000, or about 24% of the vaccine-eligible population. They report 23 new cases of COVID-19 for yesterday, putting the number of active cases at 216. That's a slight increase from Monday, but still lower than at any point since last August. Still to come, we travel to southern Illinois to learn about farm workers from Mexico who are getting vaccinated for COVID-19. That story from Illinois Newsroom's Dana Cronin is next on 217 Today.
Hi, this is Chantal Vaca, and I'm the engagement producer for the 21st. And I'm curious, what issues in Illinois matter to you most right now? Join the 21st Text Club and add to our weekly conversation. Just text TALK to 217-803-0730. That's 217-803-0730. Let's keep in touch.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. More than half of all farm workers hired in the U.S. are from Mexico, and right now many are making their way to farms across the country on temporary work visas. Some states, including Illinois, are prioritizing these workers in their vaccine rollout plans and are already getting shots into arms. As Illinois Newsroom's Dana Cronin reports, for many farm workers at this point, vaccines are far more accessible here than in their home countries.
White vans carrying small groups of farm workers drive up periodically to the parish hall at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Cobden, Illinois, dropping off groups of men who have recently arrived from Mexico. Many of them will be here until October on temporary agricultural work visas. And on only their third day here, they're getting vaccinated. 34-year-old Jorge Feria just arrived from Oaxaca, Mexico. Moments after receiving his shot, he felt relieved.
We have the fortune to come work through a visa and have a government that cares about the people that come to work in the fields. We are very grateful.
He says if he had stayed in Mexico, he wouldn't be vaccinated. In fact, he doesn't know anyone in Mexico who has yet gotten the shot. It's a big deal for many of these workers. Farm workers have been hit particularly hard by the pandemic. According to researchers at Purdue University, in the U.S. alone, it's estimated that hundreds of thousands of agricultural workers have tested positive for the virus, and thousands have died.
Relax your arm.
Jose Martinez rolls up the sleeve of his blue tie-dye t-shirt in preparation for the shot.
Nothing hard. Yeah.
Martinez, who's originally from Mexico, now lives in Illinois year-round, working as a forklift operator at a farm. He says most of his family also works on farms, and almost all are vaccinated. His parents, though, remain in Mexico.
Todavía no.
They're not vaccinated yet, because in Mexico, it's really hard to get.
Carlos Leonardo Magis Rodriguez teaches medicine at the National Autonomous University of Mexico.
The real problem is that we don't have enough vaccines.
He says the supply issues mean that most Mexican residents, even healthcare workers, aren't yet vaccinated. Mexico's vaccine distribution plan is age-based, and Magis Rodriguez says he expects 20 to 30-year-olds won't become eligible until maybe next January, meaning many of the farm workers getting their shots in the U.S. now will likely be nearly a full year ahead of their peers back home. Some farm workers say many of their friends and family members are afraid to get vaccinated after hearing false information and conspiracy theories.
El gobierno está en contra de la gente.
That the government is against the people and that they're putting the virus in our bodies.
Eleazar Chavez also recently arrived from Oaxaca on a work visa. The night before getting vaccinated, he attended an informational session put on by a local health clinic. Carla Gravler ran that Q&A session. She says many workers come in both concerned and unprepared for the vaccine, and it's important to dispel myths right away with accurate information about vaccines.
You know, how they work in the body, what kinds of vaccines we have in the market, what kind of vaccines we're going to receive today, and then what to expect after receiving the vaccine. So they know, they can identify, okay, I have fever, I have chills, okay, well, don't get alarmed. My body is responding to the vaccine.
After some initial hesitation, Grathler says all 22 of the most recently arrived farm workers got their vaccine shots. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom.
This story was co-reported with Illinois Newsroom's Christine Herman. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see cloudy skies today with showers and thunderstorms likely this afternoon and a high of 61 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Olivia Butts. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Lee Gaines, Dana Cronin, and Christine Herman. Music by the Kilbourn Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.